vehicles that were sitting beside yet. Then we'd have to mark it down as a parking violation for the code book and get a hold of the either the owner or the representative to try to get it to get moved.
So you wouldn't contact or give a ticket to the actual person?
I wouldn't. I'm not the police, but I can't.
I understand you're not. You know what I mean?
And then it's probably not a...
Are those county roads?
Nope.
So we can't put no parking signs up there anyways?
No, you couldn't put no parking. So I don't know that it'd be a legal violation. It might be a separate homeowners type violation that they would need to go after, and that's a civil court violation to go after. But it would be a planning parking violation.
Okay. How many times can they violate and still keep their CFC?
Well, it says it's to discretion.
I said that's by the revocation.
Yeah.
Code 4.7.15.
Yeah. After due investigation, it determines that the holder thereof, which they're talking about the holder of the special use permit, repeatedly violates any provisions of this section or that any facility is being maintained in an unsanitary or unsafe manner or is a nuisance. The planning department can revoke the special use permit. The difference between your special use permit and the Division 3 permits, major ones, they go Division 3 major development use permit carries with the property. So Brandon sells it to Mike. Mike can now use it for that use. This special use permit is owner specific. When that owner sells, it doesn't carry. The next person would have to get the same
permit. Go through the same process.
Correct. That way it's a little more regulatable. So it doesn't specify a number. To answer your question, it doesn't have.
That would be the discretion of the planning department.
Correct.
But they're allowed, when they rent, they're allowed so many parking places to park.
The parking is one space per two occupants. So if you had a nightly rental, it was a three-bedroom. Two occupants per bedroom, that's six, and two occupants per the unit, so that's eight occupants you could rent to. So divide that by two, that means they need to have parking for four vehicles. And the boats get to be an issue because we're in an area with the lakes and they come with boats and different things. So
a couple of these are coming through,
I've told them you guys are going to have to start thinking about where you're going to have boats park and different. So they're starting to put in some parking areas for boats because that would be considered parking. I mean, it's there.
Boat would take up two places.
Oh, yeah. It'd probably take up two spaces. Yeah. Wes?
Sir, do you want to
make her up?
I think I can. I'll stand rather than sit. I think my voice will probably carry.
Okay.
I've not had much trouble in the past being heard. I'll try not to drop that. One of the issues that I had on the agenda that I want to speak to was the 120 days. And I think you guys have covered that issue quite well, so I'm not going to approach that. I think the 90 days would probably be fine. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So the 90, I agree. I think 90 days would be far enough out on that. I think 120 days probably pushes it a little too long. In fact, I would like to see it backed up probably further than that, but that's okay. The other issue, one of the issues is the fire suppression. I think you've taken the teeth out of the issue, and it just continually erodes the safety issue with this, and I hate to see that because so many of these units, and even the one I live in, it has a stairs going up to a loft, and I know that, oh no, we're not supposed to use those as bedrooms. People are not supposed to sleep there. But I tell you what they do. You know, when when they come in and, you know, you allocate the number of bedrooms and number of people that's supposed to be there, but, you know, when they come in and you see, you know, 10 to 12 people, where are they sleeping? Somebody is in that loft. And if there's a fire and there's no way to get out the window, you know, unless they break it out and jump or come down that stairwell, there's a fire issue. And you know, suppression, you know, that there's maybe some of them are putting them in on one half, and I don't remember now which half it is, whether it's a western or which halves is kind of requiring the suppression systems, but both halves are not requiring suppression. So anyway, that's an issue, I hate to see that taken out of there where the fire is left up to the fire district. So
Is it not currently up to the fire district?
It's totally up to the fire district. So it's their compliance.
Currently, it's up to them anyway.
Correct.
Right? Okay. I just want to make sure I was understanding it right. Well, I don't know that we dumbed that down or watered that down any, because that was already there.
No, it's no whatever their compliance is.
It's taken out of this in the approval process, so now it's dumped to the fire district, and that's it. So that's all we
it's
have.
It's always been up to the fire district.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure I was understanding correct.
Yeah.
It actually cleans it up and makes it a little bit more specific to the COC or whatever it was. The
correct.
Certificate of. I'm just trying to make sure I understand.
Compliance. I understand.
Yeah, compliance.
I can elaborate on that, Brandon, if you want me to.
I just want to make sure I was understanding.
No,
again,
you got it.
The other issue is the buffer, and you know, we've talked about buffers and kicked them around and whether or not what they should be, whether they're walls or whatnot. Now, if as me as a private residence there, and I have a rental going in next door, what kind of buffer can we have in between? I happen to have been there when that building was built, so I know what kind of wall that it constitutes. So when you talk about a wall being a buffer, you have, separating that, you have 2x6 studs. And there's no insulation. You have 5/8 drywall on either side. And that's it. There's no interior. They did not put any interior insulation in that wall. And I tell you, this past weekend, people were in there and they have a sound bar on that wall. And they had boom, boom, boom until 11:30 at night. It's like the kid drives up next to you at the stoplight. And, you know, your car is vibrating with his. That's what my condo is doing. And so, you know, when you take out when you talk about buffer, I think we've got to do something about buffering. That's, you know, put some teeth back in there on buffering. And not that may, you know, it's got to be shell. Any question on that?
Wesley, I'd asked about the buffer, and I was told the wall was considered as the buffer, but... and a gentleman that built it said, and Scott, you may do better, I don't have it in front of me, I got it in an email, that they have the studs offset, and they have, is it sheetrock or drywall? Drywall, sheetrock?
Well, each unit has a separate 2x6 wall.
Wall. And one on this wall, that there's two sheetrocks. Or two drywalls.
Both sides stud have drywall on it. 5/8 to the inside.
You have 12-inch wall or 6-inch wall?
It's 2x6.
So you just have one 2x6 wall?
No, two 2x6 walls.
So you got 12
with an inch and a half air space between.
Now, as the wall was built, because I was there and watched it built,
okay.
You have a 2x6 wall, and then you have an offset 2x6. So you have an inch and a half space in between. Now, you have the dip, you know, the offset. And then you have the drywall on each side, and that's it. So how do you equate that?
Just from the builder telling me how he built it.
Now, who was the builder that you spoke to, may I ask?
Tom Gideon.
I'm sorry, I don't think Tom was a contractor out there when our unit was built.
Knowledge, he built almost every one of them out there.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
We won't get into an argument about that, but I was out there when our unit was built almost every day and watched it being built, and I know what those walls are. And I also heard what those walls will produce last weekend. So anyway.
I guess worse come to worse, we could actually look at the wall.
I'm sorry.
I said worse come to worse, we could take the sheetrock and look at the wall.
That's right.
He said he would testify that it that he built there, and that it was.
That's how he built them.
That's how it was built. So I don't know
and
beyond.
Did he say that he put any insulation in that wall?
I don't think so.
I don't think he talked about the insulation.
No, insulation it's 2x6 wall. Sound barrier, but
right.
I don't believe
actually. Air is the best sound barrier as long as the is nothing's touching. So if you have, and I don't know how they were built, I don't know, but I do know that for like soundproofing, home theater stuff, your studs don't touch your other stud. So I don't know what you're talking about, an inch and a half offset.
No, two separate walls is how he explained it. A wall for unit A.
I just know
a wall
that
for unit B,
the best sound barrier is not necessarily insulation as much as air. But not allowing anything to touch both sides of the wall. So you'd have a stud here, this wall, another stud touching that wall, but they wouldn't actually be touching in the middle, if that makes sense. I don't know how to describe it without drawing a picture.
Well, I think you described it very well, because that's basically you have two walls.
You would share the same plate. You share the same plate and header, right. Or not header, but the same. But then you would not share the same studs. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Of course,
I don't know how it was built. I've not talked to the gentleman. I just know that the limited knowledge I have, air is the best sound barrier. So I don't know that it doesn't make sense, but it is.
But they did take that out to put May so there wouldn't be a. But what was said to me, and this isn't a happy answer to you, but what was said to me by someone that used to live in a duplex or whatever, that when you live in a duplex, you have no control of the person that lives next door to you. And they could choose to be a good neighbor or not a good neighbor. And unfortunately, they're saying we have no control of, say, if it's not the rental, they may be a good neighbor, or they may be very loud and a bad. They may be a good neighbor that's just there to enjoy going to the shows and doing that, not for partying in that unit. Or they may be a bad neighbor.
Right.
As if I live next door to you and had a and I was not wanting to get along with you and was a bad neighbor, you'd be stuck with me. Because unfortunately, that was pointed out to me.
That's right. The only question is, but when that neighbor changes,
yeah, I understand.
Every week, and you don't know what type of neighbor you're getting, mm-hmm. that becomes a problem. Maybe,
is your neighbor a nightly rental?
Now,
right.
No.
Okay.
As I understand, it's on the list of one of those whatever seven.
Seven, yeah.
It's in the process.
Okay.
And I would prefer it not become a nightly rental. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be speaking against it becoming a nightly rental also. So anyway, but that's one of those issues. And you're right, you can, when you have that issue, and that goes back to one of those issues when we purchased the unit. We were told absolutely no nightly rentals were going to be there. Oh, absolutely not. By the developer, by the salesperson, and all kinds. So being misled, yeah, we were. And so we're stuck. But we tried to make the best of what we got. I don't know that we can get lemonade out of this lemon, but we're going to try. Thank you, folks.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Karen Murphy. I also live in Branson Creek, and it's very interesting on the changes that we have been reading today have probably come out of all the problems that were caused with nightly rentals in Branson Creek. They are taking out everything that we pointed out that wasn't being followed. The original code is fine. It protects the P&Z